issue are being brought back to Christ himself is the genuine church life. So just looking at the title and both the Roman numerals, we can actually see there seem to be two major points this week, one seemingly developing into the latter. So firstly, we need to see that we need to be brought out of all distractions, including the good and the bad things, be brought back to what? Brought back to Christ. Amen. And as a brother shared with me this week, and actually, Scott, if I can borrow yours real quick, just on the title, you know, knowing, experiencing, and living, the title of this material. So we need to know and experience the living Christ in a subjective way. And so day one is clear that even the good things might frustrate us from this knowing, experiencing, and living Christ in a subjective way, right? And that, you know, Paul writes, but what things were gains to me, in Philippians 7, what things were gains to me, these I have counted as lost on account of Christ. And that this is brought back out on today's 2 and 3, as the saints can bring out in their sharing, that Christ would be gain is our daily living, and that Christ would be everything to us. And I was so touched by the example of, like, some saints not go to the movies, right? It's because you don't go to the movies of Christ. You go on your own. And so I was just so touched by this point. So in Roman numeral 1, just to reiterate, you know, we see we want to gain Christ in our knowledge and experiencing and living of Him, that we would gain Christ and nothing else, that nothing else would distract us from this Christ. So secondly, after we know, experience, and live Christ in this way, so what? What then? What exactly is this living, knowing, experiencing, and living Christ for? It is for the expression of the genuine church life. That the riches of Christ that we experience by turning away from these distractions, by living Him, by gaining Him as our daily living, would be expressed as the fullness, as His church. And so actually, day four gives a really good definition of this distinction between riches and fullness, right? So riches are the things of Christ, right? His life, His light, Him as the Lamb, right? These are the things that we enjoy and experience. And actually from this morning, the first hymn we sang, for those of you who are here, right? Mm-hmm. And even the one that Brother Shepherd brought out. There's all these different things that Christ can be to us. These are the riches that we enjoy. These are the riches that we bring into our being that permeate and saturate us. But saints, why are we bringing these in? Because when we bring something in, then these are expressed as the fullness. And this fullness is the genuine church life. So actually, maybe we should just define, you know, for the weeks even to come, what is this genuine church life? So on day four, right, the portion states, the genuine body life comes out of the riches of Christ, right? And on day five, we see another similarly profound point. The genuine church life is the life of Christ. It is Christ realized, experienced, enjoyed, and expressed by us. Amen. So we see that actually the genuine church life is nothing more than Christ experienced, enjoyed, and expressed by us. So right now, everything we've experienced, enjoyed this week is now being expressed by us at this table. It's being expressed by us at the meetings. This is the church life. So whatever we take in of Christ, turning away from all else, this expression, this is the genuine church life. And I was just so touched on this point that actually the genuine church life can't be a performance. It can't be you just scrambling to prepare the morning of or anything like that. But actually, it's our daily living. That everything we partake of and metabolize throughout the entire week, this is the genuine church life. It's not just coming to meetings and showing up and doing the right things, right? And as we see, you know, Laodicea on day one is mentioned that the things that they had gained, these even became a veil to the saints. But actually what we really want is a genuine gaining and experiencing of Christ day by day, that we might express Him as our genuine church life in a daily and constant way. So there's just so much richness in this week that I didn't even get to touch on. But maybe the saints can now share their portion of enjoyment. Maybe we could do 3 minutes. We start with 3 minutes each. And I think the saints can just bring out everything that they have enjoyed from this week's morning of Bible.
the Lord. This morning I really enjoyed the outline that our brother Ron shared.
Yes.
And there's this wonderful prayer, and he defines, you know, it says that we are very distracted by a lot of things.
Right.
That take us away from Christ. He defined distractions as something that preoccupies us. It makes it impossible for us to concentrate on any other matter that's important, which is Christ. And so we need to be brought back to Christ, and it's these distractions that take us away from Christ. And so I felt that I was very distracted this week, so distracted that I was not able to focus. And I realized that I just didn't want to read anything. And then I said, this is a dangerous state that I'm in, because I just didn't want to read. And so I came to this prayer, and he said, Lord, you're on the throne right now interceding for us and dispensing yourself into us moment by moment.
Amen.
Lord, it is so real. You are dwelling in us as the life-giving Spirit. We open our being to you in every way and give you access to every part of our being. Lord, in this training, we cry out to you to speak directly to each one of us. That I cried out to the Lord.
Amen.
I began to cry out to the Lord to
Amen.
Speak to me. Oh, that we are, that I am in your hands, Lord. Oh, to give me the experiences that I need to realize that you are everything and that
Amen.
I am nothing apart from you.
Amen.
So that I need to know you. Lord, and the question, Lord, to what extent do I really know you as the all-inclusive Christ? And I realized that I was so distracted, but I need to come back to him, right?
Amen.
And he came, made mention of the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation, that they had done all these wonderful things, but I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love.
Amen.
Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, and repent and do the first works. That the Lord would ask me, would tell me, remember, remember where you have fallen from, remember where you came from.
Amen.
And now we need to enjoy the Lord to such an extent that we can enjoy and have the joy of having nothing, of being nothing, of seeing nothing. Oh, but our realization must be, you know, that he is everything to us. And therefore, in order for this to happen, the Lord will arrange experiences for us to experience
right.
this. And
Amen.
That we would get to the end of our rope, so
right.
to speak, to the very end. And so in this way, when we realize, when not just from the mouth up, but then we realize that I'm nothing, that I have nothing, that then I can really open myself to him, that he can bring me back to himself.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'd like to follow that. So that it says we need to be brought back to Christ.
Amen.
And so it says, how do we get brought back? Well, there's a sentence in here that says, we just need to turn from all our distractions.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? So, for example, Virginia said, she just talked about what that means, that a distraction is something that just occupies us. It attracts us, it occupies us, and it kind of like, it keeps us from focusing on Christ and from pursuing Christ. So these distractions can come from anywhere. So for example, for me, my physical condition or state or whatever you want to call it is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel, that's how I feel most of the time.
Yes.
Well, that's a distraction.
Amen.
Just like it's keeping me from pursuing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it could be something at work. Right? It could be at work.
Yes.
I have a coworker, or I have an assignment that's just, it's just too much. and it becomes overwhelming. Anyway, so this week there's a phrase, inner experience of Christ. Inner experience of Christ. So there are, and the inner, our personal inner experiences of Christ are, that is the church life.
Amen.
Yeah, because the life, the church life is the life of Christ.
Amen.
They're not different. It's the life of Christ. So our inner experience of Christ is and issues in the church life, the proper church life. So this week has Ephesians 3, Philippians 3. It has Colossians 1 and Colossians 3.
Amen.
Many verses in the message. Just the brother just walked us through experience after experience after experience after experience. All kinds of experiences from the verses. So how about I'd like to take one portion to end up, one portion, and just touch how we get turned from the distractions and to the inner experience. I just need like two more sentences. So the gain Christ and be found in Him.
Amen.
Not having my own righteousness. Suppose this is our short prayer in the day. I gain you, found in you, not having my own righteousness.
Amen.
So what's an inner, let's just open this up a little bit. So we need to pay, when we're praying this way, we're praying His word to the Lord, we need to pay it, we should pay attention to the sense within. Pay attention to the sense within. So let's just take that small phrase, gain Him, found in Him, not having my own righteousness. So when we come to the phrase, not having my own righteousness, possibly we have a sense within. And we have a sense, gain you. Oh, Lord, you're real. I can touch you. I can realize you. And I can gain you. That's an inner consciousness. We should pray according to that consciousness. Lord, just a simple prayer. Don't go beyond the sense within. Just pray that sense. Lord, I'd like to gain you. I would like to be, and then I'd like to be found in you. Don't say, I don't experience you. That's not according to the inner sense. The inner sense says, Lord, I want to gain you. I want to be found in you. You're real. You're substantial. And it says, here's the final, I'll just end this way. It says, not having my own righteousness. Well, what would be, you may have a sense like this. Oh, Lord, there might be a particular situation that comes to mind too. I'm just trying to be a good brother. Lord, I want to be found in you.
Amen.
I want you as my righteousness.
Amen.
I want you. Lord, I repent from trying to be in myself, trying to be a good brother. Anyway, this is a very short example of the inner experience of Christ. In our short prayers, praying the word, we have an inner sense about those words. We just pray, we just respond to the Lord according to that inner sense. And that prayer becomes our door, our realization of the, we just gain something solid. Not big, not something big, but something very solid. So we just pray in our short prayers according to our inner sense with Him.
Amen. We know Paul had two prayers for the church. The first one, the Ephesians chapter 1, says, 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of the wisdom and the revelation in the full knowledge of Him.
Amen.
First one, Paul Burden, one, we know Him. But continue, you got another prayer from the Ephesians chapter 3. He said, He will grant you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ will make His home in your heart.
Amen.
Through faith,
Amen.
That you will be rooted and grounded in love.
Amen.
May be full of the strength to apprehend with the saints. Oh, hallelujah. So first, the first prayer talk about knowing. And the second prayer, chapter 3, talk to experience Him.
Amen.
With all the saints.
Amen.
The January, the church life. With all the saints. Hallelujah. It's a covering experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. So yesterday, I found myself reading the book of Philippians with Edens. I was like, why don't we just, you know, try to reread it, right? What is this about? And, oh, I was just so surprised and amazed by what a pattern we have with Brother Paul.
Amen.
And I found myself singing many of the verses, because, as you know, there's many verses that we don't even knew that they were Philippians sometimes. We just sing them. But reading it yesterday was like a different view. And as I was reading through verse 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
And as I was reading through the footnotes on this verse, here it says that verses 7 and 8 are the heart of this book. There, here is where we are initiated into the experience of Christ. And we can see with the brother Paul, you know, he had many things that were gained to him. And even though we saw, you know, his transformation and all the things that he had gained in Christ, he still had, and I think Sister Virginia shared with this move before, where he said, even perhaps, right, even if perhaps I can attain more. And I already thought of he's like such an overcomer, but even Paul still counted all of these things
Amen.
As loss in the account of Christ. So much more as the, you know, in my experience, I still feel I need to give more things to Christ. And just this week has also been a little bit rough for me. And I just felt like, you know, I'm not experiencing the Lord as much as I should. I was relying on myself in a lot of other things. But I was just helped to know that God's purpose in saving us is more than just cleansing us and saving us from sin.
Amen.
But His salvation is much more. It's a continuation. It's never stopping. So He eventually wants us to just be infused, to have all that the all-inclusive Christ is brought into us. And I just appreciate this word, right? All things. That means in our wisdom. That means in our health. That means in our concepts, in our mind, in everything, right? It will be Christ. And to me, sometimes that feels like maybe on this could be my knowledge, maybe on this, but the Lord is there as my center. But that's not the reality in many of the cases in my experience. So I just repented to the Lord last night, and I just told Him to bring me back to His original intention. Not what I think is His intention going on, but what is His original intention.
Amen.
And He says to not just drop the evil things, but some of us have shared that even on our own righteousness and what we try to be. He says that even the good and the evil things, because we can see also with Paul, he had many gains, but that stopped him from enjoying Christ. So much more the good and the evil things. And sometimes it's harder to drop the good things. And to live, at least in my experience, in my past experiences of Christ, this was this before and now it's not. But the Lord just, you know, in His mercy, last night, He just I had just a personal contact with him once more. And I was just so helped to know that in all things that is in my person, that is in my mind, that is in my knowledge, that it will be just for Christ. And that we need to stay in the present Christ, not the Christ of yesterday, not the Christ of tomorrow, but to just enjoy the present Christ,
Amen.
To experience Him so deeply, just so, you know, in Him. And even what we think is a small experience to the Lord, that is much, especially when it comes from our heart, let's just pour out everything to the Lord in that moment. So may we not be content where we are in our past experiences and what we're doing today, but continue to press on that we can, you know, be patterns just like Paul, and perhaps we will attain even more.
Amen.
Since, you know, I was so touched during the summer training that God's eternal purpose and His desire for His children is far beyond redemption, beyond regeneration. He wants to build Himself into us, and He wants us to be built into Him. This is His goal. And so I was really touched that, you know, in Revelation, the Lord spoke to seven churches, and to each church, including the church in Philadelphia, which is the best church, right? Even to that, He was calling overcomers. So today, the brothers shared that we're in a time of degradation. And the degradation started, the church, degradation of church started in the first century. Even before Paul, Apostle Paul passed away, the church started to degrade. Today is the 21st century, saints. God is calling for overcomers. Not just Apostle Paul, not just Watchman Nee, not just Witness Lee. He wants every saint to be an overcomer. And then the other thing that really touched me in Romans 5, you know, because I was asking, Lord, how can I be an overcomer? You know, it says in Philadelphia that we have little strength. And then I was so touched in Romans 5:17. It says, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So for us to reign in life in every situation, we have already received the gift of righteousness through our salvation, but we need to ask the Lord for an abundance of grace every day.
Amen.
So actually, you know, saints, during the past few weeks, I've been extremely busy. And my plate, tasks for my work is like humongous, you know. But I applied the Lord for each task, and I experienced Him
Amen.
In every single project.
Amen.
Oh, it's just been so wonderful. And I have been, through this, saints, I really experienced the, you know, like in the message it says, in the outline, number day 5, it says to experience Christ. And the sister also just shared, the way to realize the genuine church life is to experience Christ as everything to us.
Right.
And then it says the genuine church life comes from the genuine inner enjoyment of Christ. The development of Christ into our inner being is the genuine church life. And number 3, in order to have a church life, to express Christ according to God, into God's eternal purpose, our soul is subdued and saturated with Christ as the Spirit. And this is what I experienced, saints. In every task, my soul was subdued, but Christ was expressed.
Amen.
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 This week is very deep, very touching, our spirit, right? And it talks a lot about the self, a natural life, right? Many days. And I remember I went to a lawyer. I said to a lawyer, he said to me, I need his service, but he said to me, we already went through all the things. went with my wife. He said to me, I know you don't trust me. I said, I don't, but my wife does. So lawyers usually naturally, you know, proud or, you know, accept the brother. But usually, you know, they think they're power, authority, right? And really, the self that we have is pride, right? Why there are wars? Why they're fighting in Europe? Why there are divorces? Everything because it's people love themselves when somebody tells somebody this and that you don't like. Suddenly, this come out, anger or dissatisfaction. So which is the self, right? And we love ourselves a lot. We really love ourselves, right? And I was reading here also about in day 5, it says, therefore, the way to realize the church life is to deny ourselves and acknowledge that the natural life is just clay, not stone. Thus, it is good only for the enemy Satan and Peter, the city of Babel, not for God's will. You know, it's not sure, but actually Nimrod is considered one of the ones that built the Babel Tower, right? He wanted to reach the heavens, right? But you see what happened? See, the Lord saw his pride. And what he did, he dispersed all the people with different languages. He punished his kingdom, right? And this is what happened when we do things in ourselves, in our natural life. You know, this venom that we receive from Satan, you know, when we look in Genesis, is with us until the end, right? Only Christ can destroy that. He destroyed it on the cross. He defeated Satan, death, the world on the cross. But it's still, this sinful nature is still in us. So we need to really pray, and we need to really tell the Lord, I repent. Sorry, Lord. Every day I tell him, you know, I love you. I'm sorry because I didn't take the cross. I should have taken the cross, not you. But you save us. You save me. And we need to really realize we are good people. I believe everybody here is nice. You know, we're good. We do the thing. But when somebody tells us anything, or we don't like something, from a brother, from a family member, immediately, you know, I used to be like that with my sister, you know. My sister was a pain in the neck, but now I love her so much. And she came back to the church life in New York. So we need to really deny this self, which is pride.
Yes.
We need to humble ourselves to the Lord. Sometimes we need suffering to humble. You know, when somebody, a doctor or a lawyer, suddenly they tell them, okay, you have cancer, and suddenly that pride goes all the way to the floor, right? But while we not going through these trials and tribulations, we're very still, you know, we love ourselves. But in order also to deny the self, like Brother Michael told me, how could you deny yourself if you don't know yourself? We need to know who we are. We need to know the self. You know, we're human nature, fallen human nature. We really have a lot of things, a lot of garbage in ourselves. So by denying the self, we'll be able to let Christ live. Paul says, no longer who I live, but Christ lives in me. So this message is very deep. We need to deny the self.
Amen.
And we cannot do it. Only Christ can do it.
Yes.
But
Amen.
We need to pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen. This weak message is easy to understand, but it's deep in our experience.
Yes.
And this is encourage us. I think the burden is genuine church life. And it encourages all of us to experience Christ. And we know that in our life, Christ reminds us again. I mean, this message reminds us again, a lot of destruction in our life. Christ is not the center. Oh, Lord, in our life, many things not the center. We need to brought back, to bring back, to make life is our center, to be found in Him. We, many times in our life, we are not to be found in Christ, but to be found in me, myself. Oh Lord, not to be faithful, even not to come to the Lord, not once to read the Bible. I already read it. Oh, Lord. And all the experience of this one, encouragement of this one, is we will become drink offering. Drink offering is satisfying God, and also drink offering to the saints become satisfying to the brothers and sisters. So we can have a genuine church life, expressing church life, and Christ become our life and our everything.
Amen.
In the church life, we can forbearance toward one another, like in Colossians 3:13. Otherwise, when brothers said that thing to me, I get offended. Oh, Lord. Because why? For myself, do not experience Christ as everything. We need to enjoy Him. And also, only in the church life, the genuine church life, it encourages us to come to the meeting so we can know the length, the height, the breath, and the death, because we are the center of the universe. Christ is everything. We cannot understand, experience Christ in that way, in the cubicle sense, like in New Jerusalem, unless we come to the meeting. And our church life is sharing, exhibitions, encouraging one another. So we will have a wonderful church life that is grounded and rooted in love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to share the last sentence of the last day of this morning revival. It says that genuine church life issues out of the enjoyment of Christ through our prayer reading the Word. And so, actually, day six, it just tells us these verses in Ephesians 3 that we would be strengthened into our spirit and that we would even be filled in spirit. And the way to do this is to pray read the Word.
Amen.
And so, you know, we often use this illustration that we have a spirit and the Word is spirit. And so it's like striking a match, that with our spirit, we touch the spirit and the Word, and then we just light the flame. And this is what it means to have the Rhema word. This is God's instant, present, inspired speaking to us through the written word. And, you know, it says that this is what the genuine church life issues out of, is that we each enjoy the word in such a living way.
Amen.
And I can testify that, you know, what has become Rhema to another brother and sister when they speak, then that word can then become Rhema to all the other saints who hear that speaking. And sometimes we're going through certain things, or we have certain situations, or praying about certain things, and another brother and sister, they don't know anything about what you're going through, but somehow they share something. And that becomes the Rhema word to you, and that's how the Lord meets you in your situation through another brother or sister.
Amen.
So it's so sweet that in the genuine church life, we each come to the Word, we enjoy the Word,
Amen.
And then our enjoyment then becomes food to the other brothers and sisters.
Amen.
So practically, I just like to set aside time. I set a timer, and then I spend time in the Word. I like to journal, and I think I can testify that's really a supply to me. That's like my day-to-day, daily bread. And hopefully what I enjoy could then become food to serve other saints.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, can you go first? Okay. I really enjoyed day three this week. As everyone was sharing about, day three talks about, like, how Christ wants to be our life and our everything. And it's not so much about abstaining from evil things or trying to do good things, but it's the fact that in what we're doing, in what we're saying, or even in what we're thinking, is Christ inside us or is He apart from us? And I was just really sobered by the fact that if we experience this reality, right, we'll even repent of the many good things that we've done apart from Christ, such as our humility, our zeal for the Christian faith, and even our love for Christ. So, Yeah, so like as it reveals often the issues that like we have Christ within us, but we don't apply Him into our everyday, normal experiences. And you know, like by nature, right? You know, we're just very, it's easy to be very doctrinal and legal, right? Like we may have a question of like, oh, like as a Christian, can I do this or say that or do that? Of course, there's nothing wrong with having questions, but you know, the reality is that you know Christ wants to be like so real to us that He is the life within us, and then like as we know, right, the Father's the source, the Son is the course, and the Spirit is a flow, right? So like if we experience something with Christ, if Christ is still in us as we're experiencing this thing, we will feel flow within us in our spirit. Kind of like when you plug in a cable, right? There's a electric current. So just like with the Spirit within us, you know, when we are doing something, saying something, or even thinking something, is this flow still going or is it cut off? So yeah, this is the reality of Christ in our daily living.
Amen. I think Paul revealed that God's intention is that Christ would become everything to us. I think when you consider everything, what is everything? Christ. This is what the Lord wants to, you know, to become to us. Everything to us. It means He wants to be involved with us in such a way that, you know, everything that we do, everything, even our thoughts, what we think of, the Lord would become everything to us. So I'm still considering this phrase. What does it mean for the Lord to become everything to us? But I think, you know, we saw that there's a lot of things that distract us from Christ. And these things may be even good things, right? They may even be the best things. So many things that are competing, right? Competing against Christ. Even our love for Christ. And I think it'll help us to identify what some of these things are. As we read through the Bible, you know, Paul mentions some of them specifically. You know, one being even tradition, right? Our culture, the way that we think, the philosophy. You know, I was touched with, you know, just reading through Colossians this past week, and Paul just presented this all inclusive Christ in chapter one, and he wanted the believers to see Christ in His all-inclusiveness. And in chapter 2, immediately He goes into that He had a struggle and that He needed the hearts of the believers to be comforted, right? And so immediately after presenting this revelation of Christ, this Christ who was the before all things, right? All things cohere in Him. He's the center of the universe. He's the center of our personal universe. Amen. In order for us to see this, we need our hearts to be comforted. Our hearts is very important in seeing this. And so, you know, I shared with the brothers this week that when I first started to experience the Lord and started enjoying the Lord, automatically I felt that I just needed to become a good person. I needed to stop doing bad things. I needed to listen to my mom. And I realized that was just the human philosophy.
Yeah.
Right? We're just born with that, and yeah. it's implanted into us. All these things, which are distractions from Christ. Mm. But my real need was to see Christ.
Amen.
Right? To behold the Lord and to have my heart comforted, to have my heart worked on, prepared, that I would be able to see the Lord. See this excellent one, this one who was preeminent in God's economy. And so for us, we don't deal with the distractions directly. And also on the other hand, Christ doesn't become everything to us directly, right? I appreciate it in Philippians. Paul, it was on account of the excellency of the knowledge, right? Paul saw something and he was able to drop these things. He was able to drop all his attainments. If you read the verses, those aren't hard things to let go of. These things are all in us. But as we see the Lord, as we behold Him, as we look at him, we see his preciousness. We get a revelation of his supreme preciousness, right? And that causes him to become everything to us.
Amen. So point one, we need to be free from all distractions and brought back to Christ Himself. This is my my experience last week. So as I am moving out from my current apartment, I have to work with my landlord. I have been working with him and I have to say that he was so making my life more difficult. He was so making my moving out so difficult. I'm not going into the details, but I have to say that I'm not a big fan of him. After my conversation with him, I felt like I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't focus on my study or my Bible reading or even listening to the hymns. I was so distracted. But it was Friday, and on Friday, on every Friday, we have our small group. We have a small group meeting. And that evening I went to the small group meeting and it was amazing. The Lord he has drawn me back to him. Amen. And I felt much less concerned and much less distracted by the landlord. Amen.
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 Mercy, receive his mercy,
and find His grace. And so, you know, we're not here to be good Christians, so if I were to categorize this week, I failed terribly. But I'm here, you know, and it's a new week. We just forget the things which are behind and we just stretch forward.
Amen.
And then I just appreciated the church life. It's an issue of our genuine experiences of Christ.
Amen.
So when we ask the Lord to give us a revelation of who He is,
amen,
and then we ask Him, Lord, cause me to know who I am. Nothing in myself is qualified, right? And then we can begin to experience,
amen,
a little bit, you know, of who Christ is and learn to apply Him, not I, but Christ, you know, in my speaking with my family and in the way I conduct myself, and it's not I, but Christ. And then,
amen,
the issue of that is, that's the church. And as we come together, that's the genuine church life. And so, anyways, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us.
Amen.
We would see You who You are.
Yes.
We would see who we are, and we would experience and enjoy You more.
Amen.
The Romans 2 get a 7 small point. Only the first one, I think that I have really to make testimony. He said that the genuine church life is Christ realized, experienced, and expressed by all the saints in the corporate way.
Amen.
All the saints, you and me, in the corporate way. That is the genuine church life. I remember in the training, one of the first old elder, he asked the question, why, brother, you use the genuine church life? You mean, I spent my whole life in the church, almost 50 years. You mean genuine church that maybe sometime is a fake church life I experienced? It's not real. But brother didn't answer that question. But I'm very sure when brother Ron used this is from the footnote, it's a genuine church life. I really experienced. I think the when I see the brother Hong here last week, one of our brother is the coach in the New York City. He bring his driving school car. Let brother Hong, let sister Daryl. Take them to drive. Wow. Teach them how to drive in school. Wow. We experience with our brother. So I see. Hallelujah. We really experience. This is genuine church life.
Amen.
In Piscataway.
Amen.
So we are embarking on this journey for the next 8 weeks on this overall burden. Knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church life. I just like to repeat something in the opening word from this message that touched me very much. And I think this will be impactful on how we would receive the burden of these messages in the upcoming weeks. And our brother mentioned that this is not a conference for us to talk to others about it. In other words, we're not here to take these messages, get into it a little bit, and just repeat it, share it as an enjoyment. But these messages are meant to come into us first, maybe as light, for the Lord to touch us, to even adjust, recalibrate. Actually, that's the word that stood out to me this week. When we come to this title, being brought back to Christ Himself, this implies that we've been deviated slightly, even slightly. We need to be recalibrated, be brought back to the person of Christ Himself. And then there is an issue, right? The issue is for the genuine church life.
Amen.
So my heart and my feeling this week, and hopefully for the upcoming weeks, is, Lord, save me from thinking that I already know, or I already heard, or that I could just plainly just, you know, speak about these things. But May these words touch me first, have an effect on my living, right, before we can openly and share with everybody. I'd just like to maybe read some verses. I think this really helped me to get into the burden of this particular week. These verses in Revelation 3 and Philippians 3, I've never seen this contrast in such a way. And I think if we hear them side by side, I think it will be meaningful to us as well. So the verses I want to read in Revelation is Revelation 3. This is concerning the church in Laodicea. This is verse 17 and 18. Because you say, I want to highlight that, you say, this is the church in Laodicea, which is a composition of the believers in the church in Laodicea. Actually, we need to apply this not in a general way, but actually this is the Lord speaking to each and every one of us. Okay? Because you say, I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing and do not know, I want to highlight that, do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Okay. No one here is qualified to judge whether or not you are wretched. This is in the eyes of the Lord. Actually, I was reading something earlier this week. One day, brothers and sisters, we will all face the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And He will judge us. This is not any of us. None of us are qualified. But the Lord's judgment, one day, it could be that we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And what touched me about this verse is that this phrase, you do not know. Oh. It's not the fact that someone was wretched, poor, blind, and naked. It's the fact that you did not know you were poor, wretched, blind, and naked. So my prayer actually this whole week is, Lord, save me from being so blind and not realize that my actual condition is something of poor, something that is wretched, something that is naked. I'm naked. I'm naked in front of people. I don't realize that. But I think I'm okay. But in reality, I'm just this condition, right? And then so the Lord's encouragement is, I counsel you to buy from me. This word buy is very important. This implies that we need to pay a price, right? We need to buy. We need to purchase. What do we need to buy? Three things. Gold refined by fire, that you may be rich. The white garments, that you may be clothed. And then the eye salve, to anoint your eyes, that you may see. In this day and age, we need to buy, brothers and sisters, this gold. And this gold is actually a type of our living faith, our experienced, our experience of the triune God in our daily living. This is something we need to buy. And we need to buy white garments touching our daily living, right? A living that is not according to our own righteousness, right? But it's according to Him, His righteousness. And we need to buy eyesight, right? Because actually, our real need is to see, right? To see our true condition. Okay, so the other, you might have already guessed, the other set of verses that, again, when you see this side by side with Revelation 3, I think is quite meaningful. And this is Paul's testimony. In Philippians 3, I'll just read these two verses. But what things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. This is such a contrast. The church in Laodicea had this problem thinking that she was wealthy and that she has no need of anything. But Paul, when he wrote Philippians, actually this is about 25 years after his initial conversion, he was an old man, and yet his attitude was, I count all of these things as refuse. So that what? So that I could gain Christ.
Amen.
So that I could gain the experiences of Christ today.
Amen.
And so, brothers and sisters, there's a phrase in the outline in a reading portion this week. We need grace and mercy from the Lord to count all things as loss so that we could gain Christ.
Amen.
Some of us, we've been here for some time, right? And actually, there's some things here that we realize that are just distractions from the person of Christ, right? Our attainments, good things, the doctrines that we've picked up, our ethics, morality. We might be in the church life, and we're still aspiring, actually came out in the sharing, to be a good brother or a good sister.
Right.
Good teachings. We do have good teachings. But this could be a distraction, a veil. Even our culture. Some of us, we come from a culture where, you know, we're just polite. We're raised in this way.
Yes.
Right? We're just raised to be respectful of our elders.
Right.
Even that could be a distraction from the person of Christ.
Amen.
May we have grace and mercy to count all of these things as loss. Even some of us, we've been raised in the church life. We attended summer schools. We've been to the training. Brothers and sisters, I just like to testify. All of that means nothing when we compare that to the present, today experience of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, may we really be before the Lord and have this attitude. Lord, I don't want to miss you.
Right.
In Hebrews, actually, Brother Ed has been so burdened about this, right? Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart.
Amen.
We need to be a people of today.
Amen.
Actually, this is my prayer this whole week.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want to miss you today.
Amen.
I forget the things of yesterday. I forget the things of last week, last year.
Yes.
I have today.
Amen.
I want to touch you today. I want to find you today.
Amen.
I don't want to be cheated by anything from the present experience of Christ today.
Amen.
Oh, so brothers and sisters, I just want to end with this last point in point G, that this week, this will really be our prayer and our aspiration so that we can have the genuine church life. All the saints, how about we read this together? Point G in this last, in the outline. All the saints need to experience something of Christ in their daily life and come together with the Christ whom they have experienced to exhibit this Christ, to share Him with one another, and to enjoy Him with God the Father for His pleasure. This is the genuine church life. This is really my prayer. I hope this is our prayer this week.
Amen.
May we all, this week, this is a new week.
Amen.
Actually, this is what I woke up with this morning. The Lord just spoke to me. New day, new week.
Amen.
We forget about yesterday. We forget about last week. I was also very distracted last week. Many failures. But this is a new day.
Amen.
This is a new week.
Amen.
May we all experience something of Christ in our daily life.
Amen.
So that when we come together, praise the Lord, when we come together, actually, we don't need to try to experience Him in all His all-inclusiveness individually. But if I experience something, Peter experiences something,
right.
Scott experiences something, Vitas, if we all experience just one aspect of Christ, then when we come together, oh, we would have such a rich exhibition of Christ.
Amen.
And this experience will be an encouragement to all of us together, corporately. This, brothers and sisters, is the genuine church life.
Amen.
Oh, may we experience Christ this week for the genuine church life.
Amen.
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 Thank you. We can have a genuine church life.
Amen.
We like to pursue you.
Amen.
Lord, we want to drop everything.
Amen.
And gain you.
Amen.
Lord, be found in you.
Amen.
Keep us desiring you, Lord.
Amen.
Turning away, focusing on you.
Amen.
Love for you speaking.
Amen.
Thank you for this week.
Amen.
For next week.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you next week to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Working in us, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you because your love and mercy is great.
Amen.
You put any words in our mouth so we can preach the word to others.
Amen.
And you shine to others.
Amen.
Be our life every day, Lord.
Amen.
Getting God that is present in our life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
May we all experience you and enjoying you today.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, to be living God.
Amen.
In our everyday situation.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to help us maintain this flow in our spirit.
Amen.
Lord, that we may just do things with you.
Amen.
Lord, not apart from you.
Amen.
Lord, to not be legal in doctrine, but just have life.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, open our eyes to see Christ.
Amen.
To see Christ in everything.
Amen.
Big or small, good and bad.
Amen.
Oh Lord, Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for today.
Amen.
Oh, everything more of you today.
Amen.
A new day and a new week.
Yes.
Oh, everything is new in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for the church life, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for the body, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this meeting, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your rich presence and your rich speaking today.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we give a new week to you.
Amen.
Lord, save us from any distraction from enjoying you.
Amen.
Experiencing you.
Amen.
Thank you in our daily living.
Amen.
One more minute. Today's cleaning arrangement is for P12 is children's room, cleaning children's bathroom, trash, toilet, floor, countertop, kitchenette, trash floor and countertop, and other children's room take the trash. P13 will be responsible for bathrooms, collecting trash, cleaning toilets, mopping the floor, countertops, supporting the plants, cleaning up the reception area. Please be careful for reception area because I found out it's not really cleaned well. So the reception desk, please clean carefully. And for P14, three main halls, including the entrance and hallway. Agape hall, including the book room and the glass room. Grace hall, fellowship hall, including the small room. Vacuuming the floor, organizing chairs, and collecting trash.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I add a little bit? For our group P14, if you could help us clean a little bit more, like dusting the webs and windows, we will be using this area for our Bible camp this next week. So if we could clean a little bit deeper, it will be very helpful. And I know some of us will stay after, so thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.